They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Advent season is meant to get us ready, to prepare us for the coming of Christ at Christmas. And to do so, it's traditional for the church to recognize four different themes on the 4 weeks of Advent. They correspond to the four candles you see on our wreath. Last week was hope, the first candle lit. And Mother Sarah reminded us of the radiant hope of the gospel in an often dark and scary world. This hope, she told us, requires imagination. We must imagine or envision the world differently than seems obvious. This week's theme is peace, and peace also stretches our imaginations. You may have noticed that in the first Isaiah reading. The prophet Isaiah describes a righteous, just king who looks out for the poor, not an image of most kings throughout history. And then things get even more imaginative. When this king reigns, Isaiah says, the entire world will be affected, even the animals. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the kid. That's a baby goat. I did have to Google that one. Kid is a baby goat. The cow and the bear will graze on grass together. The lion will eat straw instead of flesh. Children will play with snakes with no fear. And then this summary statement, they will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. This passage from Isaiah inspired a Quaker artist, his name is Edward Hicks, to paint at least 62 of these scenes depicting this passage, which he called the Peaceable Kingdom. In these paintings, the predators and the prey mingle. The hunters and those who are hunted become friends. And a little child stands amongst wild animals. And in some of these paintings up in the corner, you can see warring groups of human beings who are now conversing pleasantly. People and animals, usually at war with each other, are at peace. Talk about stretching our imaginations. One podcast I listened to put it this way: this scene is impossible. It goes against the way the world is wired. The world is wired where you survive through predation. This image from Isaiah just isn't the way the world works. And of course, he's right. It's not. A lion's body is built, it has evolved to eat meat. Wolves are carnivores, and human beings, as we know too well, are almost always in conflict with other human beings. The world does not look like Isaiah's vision or like Hicks's painting. It's not the way the world works. But it is the way that God's kingdom works. In Isaiah, we see a coming king who sets the world right and brings peace to the poor and the meek. For Christians, of course, this king is Jesus. He heals the world of its violence, its war, and yes, even, I think, predation. This is a new creation. This is a peaceable kingdom. Christ is our coming king, and we see glimpses of his kingdom even now. And I'm going to hazard an opinion that our human relationships with our pets are glimpses of this peaceable kingdom. Dogs, cats, reptiles, what other strange pets you might have at home, these are visible signs of a peaceable kingdom. Species who could easily be at odds with each other, living in harmony. Unfortunately, my cat still kills lizards and bugs. So it's not perfect, and he has a ways to go. But What I mean are that pets can be these symbols, these witnesses of a different kind of world. Our truest witness to peace is Jesus and the life that he lived in the world. It was a real kind of peace, not one that makes peace with injustice or evil, but the kind that reimagines the way we live in the world. He tells Peter, "Put down your sword." He tells his disciples, "Love your enemies." He tells his father, while he hangs on the cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus is perfect peace embodied. We are not so perfect. This week I meditated on peace for this sermon, and while I did that, I felt quite keenly the way that we can cause harm. I felt the way that I can cause harm, even in ways I don't see or fully understand. I saw those parts of myself that take up metaphorical weapons to defend myself rather than let another person speak or voice what they're feeling, or rather than receive critical and true feedback. It's easy to love your enemies at a distance, or to forgive a stranger at the grocery who cut in front of you. Closer to home and things get harder. Paul gets it too. Our Paul, St. Paul, our namesake, as he wrote to the church in Rome. Today we heard a snippet of this letter to the Romans. He was writing to a church in conflict. He tends to be doing that in the New Testament. And that's because he knew that even those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, who strive to live according to his kingdom, will face disagreement and fighting and the pain that comes with conflict. In the case of the Roman church when Paul was writing, this conflict centered around the inclusion of the Gentiles. By Gentiles, I mean the nations, those who aren't part of the people of Israel. That is, most of us who are here. And the questions centered around what Christians did or didn't have to do to be included in the church. Did Gentiles need to become Jewish? Did they need to follow Jewish customs to be part of the church? Jesus, after all, was Jewish. Or did they not need to do those things? The church in Rome had Christians on both sides of this debate. They had Jewish Christians, they had Gentile Christians, and at times the fight was bitter. Yet Paul calls them to put down their weapons. He gives them this blessing. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, so that you might glorify God with one voice. Living in harmony, glorifying God with one voice. How are they supposed to do that? Welcome one another, Paul says, just as Christ has welcomed you. Linger over these words for a moment. They're powerful. Welcome one another, just as Christ has welcomed you. He's telling them, remember what Christ has done for you. Whichever side of the conflict you land on, Christ has accepted you and has welcomed you into the family of God. And if Christ has done that for you, do that for others. If Christ has welcomed you in all your faults and your failures, welcome that person you're struggling with. If Christ has forgiven you, forgive that one too. And this takes imaginative work. You have to see from that uncomfortable vantage point of someone you disagree with, or someone you're angry with, or someone you might despise. You have to open yourself up to see in this way, to see you in them and them in you. That if you want to be welcomed and included and listened to, so do they. Peace is hard. sometimes it feels impossible in the world, in nature, and in ourselves. But thank God that for God nothing is impossible. And God will work through our fragile efforts, our small steps, and God will make all things new.